Shai, how are you, man? Good morning.
Good morning, Will. How you doing?
I'm okay, man. Getting used to doing the show at home, trying our best to hope that technology cooperates daily, but we're hanging in there. What have you been up to? What's been keeping you busy, man?
Well, a lot of work on the phone, actually, just trying to chase whatever news is going on with coronavirus and Major League Baseball at this point in time. And was certainly not the kind of stories that we'd prefer to be writing at this time of year and talking about. We're all missing baseball. I keep getting these notifications on my phone of a flight I was supposed to be on, a place I was supposed to be. And obviously today is a super weird feeling knowing that, it should be opening day. But obviously there are bigger concerns and we're all trying our best to stay inside and social distance as best we can so we can ease the time and the burden that we're dealing with this COVID-19 outbreak. But certainly, it's a bit of an emotional day for anyone associated with baseball or a fan of baseball, I think.
Yeah, seeing pictures all over Twitter and obviously Sportsnet's done a great job the last week or so with the rewind games, but it just makes you want the current thing that much more. I guess just Shai, your conversations with some people and just your brethren across the world of baseball today, what have those conversations been like?
Well, I just, I spoke to Jordan Romano, Blue Jays pitcher, who was looking at being on an opening day roster for the first time. And this would have been his first big league opening day. And, he's like a lot of people, instead of, being ready, getting for a game, he's, working out in his driveway in Dunedin at the place that he's renting, binge watching some Netflix, playing some video games, doing his best to kind of pass the time idly and responsibly. And that's just sort of where it's at. I mean, there's not really much more that you can say or you can do. And, I think the important thing, and, I really like this message from Blue Jays general manager Ross Adkins yesterday, but look, everybody in the sports world has an opportunity right now to set an example of what responsible behavior looks like and what we all should be doing. And that's really the place of sports right now. Eventually, it will be part of, returning to normalcy and being there for people, being the distraction and the entertainment that it always is. But I think today is a bittersweet day and a reminder of what we're missing, but in some ways also the opportunity that the sports world has to show people the way and how we can try to limit the amount of time that we have to spend dealing with this.
Sorry about that. You get Shai, it's probably the same for you. You get news releases every day. You get, every day it seems like something's been canceled or postponed, and we don't know what each 24-hour cycle brings. And I do feel for the sport of baseball, who I think, unlike, I mean, I think every sport's probably in the same boat right now, but for baseball, if there is ever a resumption, you're going to have to. You're going to have another month long of spring training action. You can't just jump right into things. And I think that makes it even more challenging. And it leaves, maybe I'm wrong on this read, but I just feel like it leaves baseball with more questions than maybe other sports when they talk about, when do we begin our season?
I think that's an interesting debate because, in some ways, at least everybody's starting from the same place. Once you resume, that you're not, two-thirds or three-quarters of the way through a season the way you are in the NBA and the NHL, and you've got all these different races and you've got a much shorter time frame to work in. And I think if you're in one of those two leagues, there are going to be a lot more teams who are going to end up getting screwed in one way or another. And I think there are more issues of fairness. I think from a baseball perspective, the key question is just, what do you do? Like, if you're limited to 75 games or 60 games or 100 games or whatever it is, what do you do with that season? Like, should you try to make it as normal as possible? Do you throw caution to the wind and say, hey, let's get a little crazy with this and try some cool stuff? And maybe we do. I've suggested some sort of NCAA style playoff tournament where you go, three game series, five game series, then to best of sevens. You could do all kinds of different things. So I think in some ways it is complicated for baseball because they've got a lot of things to figure out. But in some ways too, it's maybe a little bit easier because you have a blank slate to work with, as opposed to being nearly through your season and trying to figure out how you can still derive something from the season that's just been played and be fair to as many teams as possible.
Shai Davidi is our guest of Sportsnet, talking all things baseball. It was supposed to be opening day tonight, Blue Jays and Red Sox, but that is not happening and everything has been postponed. Shai, we kind of debated this morning, curious your thoughts. As you mentioned, a time for maybe a sport like baseball and even hockey and the NBA have debated the same thing when they do resume going right into playoffs. Can you get creative and change things and maybe do something that you have never really had the chance to do in the past because of this unique circumstance? What is the cutoff, I guess, for baseball? How many games do you have to play to have a credible season? I think for a lot of people, 162 is a high number. I talked about it today. I think, minimum is probably looking at an 80, 85 game season. But what are your read on and the people you've talked to? What are we looking at here? If baseball were to play in 2020, how many games would they need to have a quote-unquote credible season?
You know, it's funny. I've heard that debate a fair bit. And the more that I think about it, I mean, let's just have a season. You know, I mean, if we have to have a 50 game season, and that's what it is, who's saying no right now? You know what I mean? Like, ideally, if you're looking at it and saying, what's a reasonable sample size? I think you need to be in the 100 range, 80 to 100 range to have a pretty decent sample, a pretty meaningful batch of games to work with. But I mean, look, everything is crazy, man. Like the whole world is upside down. If we can squeeze a 50 game season in and that's the best that anybody can do, I'm not saying no. I'm not going to complain about that. I'm not going to go on and get on a high horse and say, hey, this isn't legitimate. Everybody's in salvage mode, right? We're all just trying to kind of make the best of what we're dealing with. And so I think it's a fascinating question. I just don't think it's going to be one that we can realistically argue because, at this point, we're just going to have to work with what we can within the schedule. And I think if you're baseball, you've got an opportunity to try and ensure that your 2021 is as normal as possible. And so you try to shoehorn in as much as you can into 2020 and whatever that looks like, that's fine. And then you really try to protect the integrity of 2021 and beyond.
You look at certain events and I think hockey, again, I hate to compare sport to sport, but in this case, I feel like it is allowed. Hockey yesterday announcing the postponement of their draft, but unlike baseball, they've had a full season of scouting already. So that draft will go forward and they will be able to make selections and feel confident in that. The college baseball season, it was very limited, if at all. And there's been talk about, moving the 2020 baseball draft to 2021, having, both those years combined. I guess just your read on the draft and where things are at right now.
Yeah, I mean, that's a major issue for baseball. I mean, amongst many right now, but if you're a team like the Toronto Blue Jays, it's like you've lost an entire spring of scouting. And players make massive moves during the spring, both up and down. And this is a hugely important time if you're looking at the draft and trying to project where players are going to be. So if you're the Blue Jays and hold the number 5 overall pick, it's a chance to significantly impact your franchise for a number of years because of where you're picking. It's far from ideal. On the flip side of that, you've got a league that isn't collecting any revenue whatsoever at this point. And you've got to pay players, you've got to pay staff, you've got to pay all these other costs. And all of a sudden, you're gonna find another 10 mil to drop onto your draft class or whatever. So I think that's really challenging. How do you make it fair? How do you make it reasonable? And then also from a player perspective, How do you ensure that, the draft class this year is treated fairly, and that if you do double up, does that really impact next year's free agents? Because teams are in what's essentially a 2-year super draft are going to be all the more reluctant to give up picks to sign free agents. So there are a number of layers to this, and it's super messy for baseball right now in a way that it's not for the other sports.
Shift gears back to the Blue Jays. Shai Davidi is our guest of Sportsnet. Just a couple more for you, Shai. And the first one is a piece that you put on Twitter. This would have been in early February, and now it seems like it's crazy because, again, it seems selfish to say because a lot of baseball is dealing with it, and the LA Dodgers come to mind, who bring in a guy like Mookie Betts and David Price, and look like they finally had a chance to get that elusive World Series title they've been chasing for so long. But the Blue Jays had a great offseason, and in the time that they're building this team and building with this core group, you add an ace pitcher, you get a lot of things done that you wanted to in the winter, and now this happens. It just feels like a giant halt of momentum, and I just wonder how this shortened season, or as you say, just have a season. This is a significant impact locally on the Jays.
For sure, but to me, it's really interesting. And I think if you're the Blue Jays, the shorter the season is, it's almost the better it can potentially be for you. You can, if you're only going through, half a season or something like that, you bring Nate Pearson up, you go right away with them. You got Ryu and Pearson and Tanner Roark, and suddenly you've got a front three that you could really do something with. You've got some kids who can perhaps build off the momentum and maybe, jump their way into a season before teams really have a chance to adjust to them. They can put up some numbers and maybe you can do something and surprise a little bit because you're working within a shorter sample. And because you're young, that maybe it's easier for younger players to gear up and perform immediately in such a season. It's really interesting. I just think that the possibilities right now kind of seem endless, and they're fun to speculate about. But I think if you're the Blue Jays too, you are also concerned because you did invest a lot of money in some guys who you may get absolutely nothing out of, or you're also losing a year of peak a control of some of your players. So it's a real double-edged sword, and I think if no season is played whatsoever, the loss of service, a year of service time, if that's how it ends up coming to pass, would be extremely damaging for this club.
Shai, you kind of play, it's fun to play the what if game sometimes. And I'm curious, I think it was Ben Nicholson-Smith who put it on Twitter. But of course, as I mentioned, the Blue Jays Rewind has been airing the last few days on Sportsnet, games from the World Series years and also from those 15, 16 power teams the Blue Jays had. And just curious, because you've covered this team a long, long time, and many fans will look back at this, many media members, as I mentioned, Ben was the one who put it on Twitter that I saw. You ever look back and say, what if Brett Cecil didn't get injured in the 2015 playoffs?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's one potential difference maker. But I think for me, I always think about that game two in Kansas City, and if that ball doesn't drop in between Ryan Goins and Jose Bautista in right field, does David Price finish that off? Does the playoff narrative around him change a little bit earlier? And do the Jays end up winning that series if they win that game? I think the rain delay is another, in game six is another thing that people think back to and wonder would that have been a factor with the Jays if the Jays maintained any momentum that inning. Do they get back out there and put up a zero bottom eight, win it bottom nine, or win it top nine, and then go on to win a game seven? I know a lot of Blue Jays players who were there at the time believe that that's how it would have happened. But Brett Cecil would have been a difference maker. A lot of lefty hitters that the Blue Jays struggled with in that series. And Brett Cecil was having a tremendous season, and he was their lockdown lefty. So that's one of those little injuries that often gets overlooked, but turned out to have a major impact.
I guess the one positive as we wrap things up, Shai, you look at things and when baseball does resume, hey, Shai, there's a great chance you're going to cover an opening day with the roof open. So that's a positive.
Absolutely. I think I'll take opening day with a roof closed. I'll take opening day with a
Yeah.
rain delay. opening day with a snowstorm, I'll just take an opening day. I'm not going to be too picky at this point.
So you mentioned you've been doing a lot of work on the phone. How much daily contact have you had with Blue Jay players and management? And I guess just kind of we're all in this wait and see mode. But what are you cooking up right now on the website?
Well, the piece should be going up shortly or maybe posted already, looking at a bit of Jordan Romano and a few ideas about just opening day, kind of what it's like for a player who is on the cusp and some other issues there. And I think, you know, it's interesting. You're trying to maintain contact with people, but also not wear them out. And a lot of it is just, you know, conversations with people saying, how you doing? How's your family? I texted Charlie Montoyo last night and said, hey, is this what your opening day lineup would have looked like? And he said, yeah, it's a pretty good guess. I kind of like it. And so sometimes it's just a little interaction like that. But suffice to say, the entire baseball world is feeling it a little bit today and chomping at the bit, understanding what's going on, but you know, also wishing there was normalcy back so that we'd be having an actual opening day today.
Shai, I really appreciate your time, man. I know it is not a great day. You wish you were at the ballpark, but we appreciate you jumping on the phone with us a little bit here and chatting with us. And take care of yourself, and I'm sure we'll be in touch very soon. Thanks for this, man.
Yeah, no problem. Everyone stay safe and healthy, and pick up the phone anytime you need. We've got nothing but time, so